जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 14। सत्वं विधत्स्वा खिल लोकपाला वयं यदर्थास्तव पादमूलम् समागतास्ते बहिरंतरात्मन् किं वान्यविज्ञापमशेषसाक्षिणः। सत्वं विधत्स्वा खिल लोकपाला वयं यदर्थास्तव पादमूलम् समागतास्ते बहिरंतरात्मन् किं वान्यविज्ञाप्यमशेषसाक्षिणः। प्लीज चैंट। समागतास्ते बहिरंतरात्मन् सत्वं विधत्स्वा खिल लोकपाला वयं यदर्थास्तव पादमूलम् समागतास्ते बहिरंतरात्मन् किं वान्यविज्ञाप्यमशेषसाक्षिणः। सत्वं विदत्स्वा किल लोकपाला यं यदर्थास्तव पादमूलम् सह that Tvam, your Lordship, Vidhatsva, kindly do the needful. Akhila Lokapala, the demigods, directors of different departments of this universe. Vayam, all of us, yet that which Arthaha, purpose, Tava, at your Lordship's Padamulam, lotus feet, Samagataha, we have arrived. Te, unto you, Bahi Antha Atman, O Super Soul of everyone, O constant internal and external witness, Kim, what, Va, either, Anya Vigyapyam, we have to inform you, Asesha Shakshinaha, the witness and knower of everything. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My Lord, we, the various demigods, the directors of this universe, have come to your lotus feet. Please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. You are the witness of everything, from within and without. Nothing is unknown to you, and therefore it is unnecessary to inform you again of anything. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 3, Kshetragyam, Kshetragyam Chapimam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. The individual souls are proprietors of their individual bodies, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the proprietor of all bodies. Since He is the witness of everyone's body, nothing is unknown to Him. He knows what we need. Our duty, therefore, is to execute devotional service sincerely under the direction of the spiritual master. Krishna, by His grace, will supply whatever we need in executing our devotional service. In the Krishna consciousness movement, we simply have to execute the order of Krishna and Guru. Then all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. O Bhagyarthavarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. The verse is simple and straightforward. A couple of points to appreciate. One is that in the verse, there is a paradox, if you will. The paradox is in the very first line, it's in the first and second lines, but the very first line, it says, Akhila Loka Palaha. That we are the demigods and we manage the entire universe. Akhila Loka Pala. Pala is basically, Krishna is called Gopala. He is the one who takes care and maintains all the cows. Gopala. So Akhila Loka Pala, they are the maintainers and managers of the entire universe. So their capability or capabilities are so vast and so extensive that the entire universe prays to them for solving problems. When there is no rain, they pray to Indra. When there is no good health, they pray to the sun god. When their mind is disturbed, they pray to the moon god. Right? These are very, very extremely great persons. Okay? And where are they? Vayam yadarthas tavapada moolam. We are at your lotus feet, they say to Vishnu. So although we are the directors of the universe, we can't solve our own problems. We can solve everyone else's problems. We can't solve our own problems. Because our problems are very intense. Although our capacity is so much, we can't solve our own problem. We have to come to you. So that's the first paradox. So however great a person might be, however accomplished they might be in this world or in this universe, still, when they have a problem, they have to come to Krishna. Krishna, there's no problem that Krishna cannot solve. That's a glorification of his capacity. And then the second two lines is the dilemma of a devotee. He says, Samagataste Bahiranta Atman Kimvanya Vigyapyam Ashesha Sakshinaha. This is the dilemma of a devotee. Many times you're asked this question. Should I ask something from Krishna? That's one side of the thought. You know, we should come to Krishna. If you are in any trouble, we should come and express, I'm in such and such difficulty. Please show me some solution. On the other hand, there is the other view that Krishna knows everything. Why do I need to say anything to him? He knows my problem. I don't need to express it. And which one is the right one? Both are right. It depends on the particular devotee's realization, a particular devotee's relationship, and the way they want to approach the Lord. So here Lord Brahma, he was not sitting in his planet thinking, Krishna knows everything. When the right time comes, he will solve it. That's nice. That also is true. Another way is relationship based. That although Krishna knows everything, Lord Brahma is taking all the demigods. Let's go visit Lord Vishnu and ask him for his help. Let's express what is bothering us. So both are true. In the purport, Prabhupada takes the view of, you know, this latter side, that if you simply execute the order of Guru and Krishna, all facilities will come, all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. So he says, he doesn't say we should not ask for them. He said, even if we do not ask for them, which leaves room for asking for them. Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in coming to Krishna and saying, my dear Krishna, I'm in such and such situation. Can you please find a solution for this? My mind is very disturbed, or it's unstable, or I'm feeling anxious. Can you please solve this for me? One may say that that's not a very high level of Krishna consciousness. But that's all right. We don't have to profess a very high level of Krishna consciousness. We can act at our level of realization. And if our level of realization is that we approach the Lord when we are in difficulty, well, that is fine. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chaturvidha bhajante mam. Four kinds of people come to me. Those who are in distress, those who are in need of wealth, those who are inquisitive, and those who are in search of the absolute truth. And Krishna doesn't say, come to me without anything else. You cannot have any other desire in your heart. Of course, that's a very high state, and we are aspiring for that. We are aspiring that someday we don't come to the deities or to Krishna and say, don't worry about my problems, just engage me in your service. That's wonderful. The path to get there has different stages of development, which may mean I come to the deities and offer my concerns, something that's making me anxious or worried or something. It's part of the relationship. Instead of acting out of our realization or thinking, I don't need to say anything to Krishna, you know, he knows what he's going to take care of it. At the level of someone who's very advanced, that may be okay. Our way of that, saying that, one may be artificial, second, it may be a lack of relationship with the deities or with Krishna. Or to think that, why do I need to go to express myself? So Prabhupada taught that when we are in some difficulty or we are facing a crisis or we're facing some problem, it is perfectly all right to come to Gaur Nithai. And Prabhupada even said it in English, how to do it. He says, my dear sirs, I am in such and such situation or difficulty. If you so desire, kindly solve this situation. And that's a valid way of expressing, he said. So one of the ways in which we pray to Krishna is this phrase that Prabhupada gave us, if you so desire. Because we don't want to oblige Krishna by saying, please take care of it, do it. And do it my way. Here's the solution. I'm telling you the solution, Krishna. Do it, please. Krishna is not our order taker. Oh yes, Prabhuji, I'll do for you, whatever you like. So we may have an idea of, you know, what will relieve us. So we can say, my dear Krishna, from where I am standing, it looks like this is a solution, if you so desire. Or if you so desire, please bring me out of this condition so I may serve you, because right now my mind is too disturbed and I'm unable to serve you. My ultimate request is so I can serve you without any worries. Because I don't have the strength today to be able to serve you with all the worries that I have. My worries are causing me impediments in my service to you. So if you so desire, kindly remove these impediments. So when we say, if you so desire, Prabhupada said, Krishna also knows that if he decides, let the impediments be there for some time. It's good for you. You become more dependent. You become humble. Then that's what Krishna desires. Sometimes we desire the difficulties to go away quickly because they are uncomfortable. And it's described that the discomfort is the fire that burns our anarthas. It's called tapa. Tapa is heat or fire. So once in a while, Krishna keeps the uncomfortable situation a little longer than we really want it. How long do we want an uncomfortable situation, Mitch? Not at all, not long. It should go away in an instant. All the comfortable situation should stay forever, and uncomfortable situation should go away immediately. Please make it happen, Krishna, because I desire so. But Krishna keeps the uncomfortable situations for a little longer than we want it to be. We want them to be. So that in that discomfort, there is this heat, there is burning, and that burning removes the past sinful reactions. And so we may say, it's very uncomfortable, please Krishna, show me some solace here if you so desire. There's nothing wrong in such a prayer. Sometimes we hold ourselves to very high standards. When I come in front of Krishna, my prayer should be like Prabhupada's prayer. Oh my Lord, make me dance, make me dance. And when Krishna actually makes us dance, then we say, ouch, I didn't mean it that way. I have one of the devotees, young devotees, very, very young. That devotee was in Mayapur and was in the association of very, very amazing devotees. You know, 40, 50 of them during one, I think the GBC meetings, and so you have all these, what they used to call the big guns there, right? With 45 years of Krishna conscious practices and super accomplishments, and their classes are all amazing. So this young devotee stood in front of Panchatattva and said, "My dear lordships, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm ready. Please take charge of my life." Nice. So then they took charge of their life. They transported them and planted them in a place where suddenly, from all the attention and friendships that they had, they were all alone. No friends, nothing. Everything was difficult. Their zest for preaching was challenged quite a bit, etc., etc. And they completely buckled and almost broke. Their faith in Krishna started completely dwindling. And it somehow happened that, I guess, I happened to meet them, or their misfortune, they happened to meet me, however you want to see it. And we had this conversation. And I said, "It's all right, Krishna's, you know, testing you, or but where did this come from?" As the conversation went by, they said, "Oh, I prayed like this to the deities." I said, "Then be careful what you pray. You should be careful what you ask for. Once you say, 'Krishna, I'm yours, take charge,' and if you just began taking charge of your life and you completely buckled, how's that okay? You know, when Prabhupada prays, 'Take charge of my life,' Krishna can bend him, break him, twist him, and he's, you know, not complaining or ouching and ooing and eyeing. He's like, 'Oh, this is what Krishna is making me go through.' So one should be careful at a very young realization, this grandiose prayer, one should be careful what kind of prayer it is. So we always have a safe prayer. Please keep me engaged in your service. Keep me associating with your devotees. You know, please take care of my health so I can serve you nicely. If you so desire, by the way, if you so desire. And if Krishna messes up our health, messes up something, then we say, 'Okay, Krishna's helping me go beyond this consideration. At least now I have a greater understanding of how much I'm steeped in thinking I am this body.' Nice realization, Krishna. Thank you." Etc. Whatever is the devotee's realization. But the bottom line principle is, as long as one is engaged in serving Krishna, all of one's necessities will be taken care of. There is one thing. There is never a shortage in Krishna's house. It may not be very comfortable. It may not be luxurious. But there is never a shortage. In fact, we should never think also that there is a shortage. Whatever is there, that itself is luxury for us. Because everything comes by Krishna's grace. And that's the luxury. The luxury is not the particular amenity or facility that we have. The luxury is that it is given by Krishna in reciprocation with our service. So it may physically or mentally be challenging, maybe a little uncomfortable, whatever it is, but whatever is Krishna, is coming from Krishna, that's the luxury. And we are living in a very luxurious, we are living a very luxurious lifestyle. Yeah, it's inconvenient. Life of service is inconvenient. And it is meant to be. Because when it is inconvenient, we remember the purpose behind why we're doing this. If it is very convenient, we may forget. We may forget the purpose behind our service. And anyway, by definition, service is not meant to be comfortable. Right? The servant is not meant to be comfortable, the master is. The servant takes on the inconvenience for the convenience of the master. If the servant is very comfortable and it's very convenient to the servant, it's very inconvenient for the master. Prabhupada's life, it's a life of inconvenience. At the age, of course voluntarily, but at the age that is advanced, plus so much to do, very little time, health was failing. Everything was just failing for him, one after the other. Yet, in all that inconvenience, Prabhupada was making more and more convenient and luxurious arrangements for Krishna. A nice temple for Krishna, nice preaching of Krishna's holy name, making of devotees, like managing the entire movement, etc., so that others and Krishna are convenient and comfortable, at the expense of, or at what expense of, one's own convenience. That's what service is, actually. If one is too comfortable in one's service, something's not right. And it doesn't matter, we may be comfortable for a little while, Krishna will make sure that although we are enjoying nice facilities, there is always the sense of inconvenience along with it. It's supposed to be like that, because that inconvenience is what burns us, or burns our karmic reactions. It burns our tendencies. And the tendency in the material world is luxury, comfort, lying down in the lap of luxury, as they say, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Kota Nidra Jayo Maya Pishachiro Kole. You're lying down on the lap of Maya. And the lying down on the lap of Maya is that within this material world, I want a very luxuriant lifestyle. It's not meant to be like that. Even the great kings like Yudhishthir Maharaj, etc., because of extreme example, but Yudhishthir Maharaj was living in a palace. If you see the description of his furniture, you know, golden marble filigreed, silken pillows, as soft as the foam on milk, and as white as the clouds, hundreds and thousands of maid servants fanning him, the pillars were made of jewels, all of that. So one may think they're living a very luxuriant lifestyle. Although they're sitting on the throne, and there are hundreds of attendants fanning them, holding the white umbrella over their head. Although all that luxury is there, they're living a life of sacrifice to make others' life convenient, joyful in Krishna consciousness. So it's not like Yudhishthir Maharaj was enjoying. He definitely had the great luxuries, but his life was completely in service to Krishna. So he also goes through a lot of inconvenience every day in serving Krishna, however luxurious his life is. So the point here, back to that all necessities will be supplied by Krishna. Krishna supplies all necessities, not necessarily the promise of all luxuries. We need to learn the difference between necessity and luxury. Krishna provides whatever we need. There will never be a shortage, never a sense of, that we don't have it. Everything we need for our service, for our maintenance, will come from Krishna. So from our side, what we need to be busy with, Prabhupada writes, if we simply have to execute the order of Krishna and Guru, Krishna says, I'll take care. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My devotee shall never perish. And you can declare it boldly. In fact, throughout the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, we find that the great demigods, they fail their followers. There are many instances where Lord Shiva fails his followers. Of course, Lord Shiva is not always failing. Outwardly, it feels like that. You know, Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but he died at the hands of the devotees. Jayadratha prayed to Lord Shiva. The demon, what's his name? Vrikasura, he prayed to Lord Shiva and got a very, very weird kind of benediction, that if I put my hand on someone's head, the head should burst to 1,000 pieces. He got that benediction. But he was killed by, but Krishna never fails his devotees. There is no story, no pastime ever in history, however big or small the devotee, that the devotee has been failed by Krishna. There is no such situation. Because Krishna is called Achyuta. Even for the most insignificant unknown devotee to the greatest like Yudhishthir, Maharaj, etc., Krishna has never failed them. So it's in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the very first name by which Krishna is addressed is Achyuta. Senayor Ubhayor Madhye Ratham Sthapayame Achyuta. Because Krishna is unfailing, he never fails his devotees. We may think, oh, what's the mistake? I'm struggling so much. Krishna, you haven't come to my favor yet. But Krishna will never fail a devotee. Achyuta. And as devotees, we need to have that conviction. That whatever it is, Krishna will never fail me. Never. He will never fail. And that conviction is what drives us into being a servant of Krishna. Krishna never fails anybody. What to speak of the devotees? He's the maintainer. But for devotees, he has a very special consideration. And it's not like only for the pure devotees. For them, he does very extraordinary things. But for every one of us, he's doing extraordinary things. The fact that we are living like this itself is extraordinary. Most people may not think of it that way. But it's very extraordinary. You're feeling nourished physically, spiritually, emotionally. We have some great service to do for Krishna every day. Something. Even if it is lifting a box, it's a great service. Because there is so much eternal significance in it. But Krishna will take care of us. That's our conviction. He may take care of us in ways that may be incomprehensible to us. That's a different matter. But definitely Krishna is taking care of us. Okay, any thoughts, comments? Gokulananda Prabhu, you have anything? You usually have some really charming stuff to say. If you so desire, do you have anything to say?
Opinions there, because that give impetus to approach Krishna and surrender. However, how do we present Krishna consciousness, devotional service, to general audience?
Because it's joyful.
Because that's Prabhupada was presenting a chant and be happy, and we are saying we talk about inconvenience, and people already have many inconveniences. So we are inviting them to have more inconvenience. So how do you like address?
Come join us, become miserable like us.
Yeah, but what is the difference between the inconveniences?
Right. There is a burden, and then there is burden of love. So serving Krishna is the burden of love. Just as in this world, Prabhupada explains, there is tapatraya and then there is tapasya. So the word tapatraya means three ways of burning. Every living entity is burned in three ways. Misery is due to one's own body and mind. Misery is due to someone else's body and mind. And misery is due to higher dimensional disturbances. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj said there's a fourth one for him. You know that? Apparently he said there is Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika, and he says Adi Sevaka. Miseries from his servants, from his devotees. Because if they have to serve them, it's very inconvenient to face their service. So he said, I have misery from the servants also. Adi Sevaka. That's funny. So there is Tapatraya, there are three types of burning. And nobody in this universe is free from that. In case here also the demigods are suffering because of the demons. So they're very disturbed. So that burning is equal opportunity employer. Everyone gets it. So we have to burn. Now we can choose whether to burn this way or choose to burn it through tapasya. So what happens is through tapatraya, when we burn or we are burnt by tapatraya, our karmic reactions go away. But we are like the elephant who adds more karmic reactions in this world. So the burning is perpetual, it goes on. And tapasya is we voluntarily accept for Krishna certain inconveniences. Now with that, not only karmic reactions burn, but according to Rishabhdev, we get higher spiritual happiness. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattam shuddhyet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. So the what you get in return for voluntary burning or voluntary inconvenience is unlimited spiritual happiness. And what we get for involuntary burning is unlimited material suffering. Because in love, the whole idea of love is that it's inconvenient. Well, at the same time, there is pleasure in it. The inconvenience is the pleasure. If one understands love properly. For example, in this world, we get a sense of it when a father or a husband or a mother, she takes on or he takes on the inconveniences, he does it for the family. And when he sees that the family is comfortable, he feels a sense of, yeah, it's worth it. So we do it anyway. The only thing is it's done in a way that it is temporary and it's not pure. A mother takes on the burden of bearing a child. It's very inconvenient. All the organs get pushed this way, that way. Hormones change. You can't lie down. You can't sit. You can't walk. If you sit, you can't get up. If you're standing, you want to sit down. It's very inconvenient. But there is a purpose behind that. And it is satisfactory or it is pleasure giving because at the end there is a child and you're taking care of the life of the child, etc. So we have that concept. We are aware of it. It's a matter of transposing it to Krishna. So we're miserable out there, we're miserable here, but this misery has Krishna in the center. I'm joking, we're miserable, but you get the idea. It's supposed to give us, there is something, because out of that service to Krishna, something awakens. We're supposed to awaken is the sense of compassion. So compassion becomes the salve or the ointment that soothes the burning of tapasya. Say it again. Compassion is the salve that soothes the burning from tapasya because it is for the happiness of someone else. And when you see someone genuinely benefited, it feels worth it. Yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. So then Prabhupada will take on all that suffering or inconvenience because it's worth it for the other living entities like us. Please, something, say something. Mike's.
What about devotional service in when we experience inconveniences in devotional service, but due to our, we can say, mistakes or foolishness, and but then we say, oh, that's Krishna.
Right.
Because maybe we are, because of the influence, correct, of the mood of nature, we may do service in a way that we are bringing more suffering,
right,
to others, even to other devotees and to us. But then we associate that with that's Krishna's mercy.
It is my contribution,
yes,
that Krishna's mercy is making others.
I'm being an agent of Krishna.
Yeah, I'm the agent of Krishna. Krishna will teach us too. definitely such agents learn their lessons very well. Yes, they do. Jitendra Prabhu.
Prabhupada said we should be willing to give a lot of our blood so other people can, their suffering can be reduced. Then he was saying that he would ask, you know, the karmis to come and be with us, but he says they will not because they're envious of Krishna. So they're envious is what's keeping them away.
Right, but we were all envious of Krishna.
Well, to
and
a
somehow
certain
the other
degree.
Prabhupada transformed that envy into some service, which in due course of time, however, whatever our life will turn to love, we have the same mandate then, to somehow or the other take that envy and, I guess, turn it around. That's the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And the force that turns around that envy into something is our own purity.
I remember him saying, you know, they will not come because they are envious. You know, we invite them to come to our program.
Sure.
But they won't come because they're envious. So that has to be removed.
Yeah.
You can
that's
use
the
everything.
Main problem in this world.
You can use everything in Krishna's service but envy. I think he said that.
Uh-huh.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. Some nice points I kind of took from this verse is that it says Krishna is the witness of everything internally and externally. And one thing that reminded me of is like a court of law. When you're in court, they say, do you have a witness? So there's many witnesses, surveillances, the alibi, whatever. And the one thing, you know, we could think of like some funny pastimes where, you know, like Nrsingadev, if somebody witnessed him, they'll say, there's a demon in there. And the surveillance says it's true, the alibi says it's true, so many witnesses says it's true, but it's not true. Most people take the demon to be Hirani Nrsingadev when it's actually Hirani Kashyapu is the actual demon and not Nrsingadev. And then one other aspect, I have a question after this. Some points that I really appreciate that are very important. When Haridas Thakur was chanting this round, Ramachandra Khan was also a witness of his activities. But if you ask him, what did you witness of Haridas Thakur? He'll say, I witnessed that he's proud, he's a charlatan. But if you ask the same prostitute, she'll say, I witnessed that he's very humble, he's you know, a devotee. So from our perspective, that could also, you know, cause conflicts between, you know, in the material world you see in the court of law or Jerry Springer, I'm not sure if you've seen Jerry Springer before, is like, you know, let me tell you what I saw or heard, and then they say that's not what happened. So from our perspective, how do we develop this tolerance? Because there's so many witnesses, but actually everyone's a false witness in the end because you cannot see the heart of any individual. So every time somebody comes and say, let me tell you what I witnessed, of this devotee, that devotee. And then the only thing it creates is enemies, friends and enemies, and much more animosity. So from our perspective, how do we develop this this mam chayo avyapachana and abhati yogena sevate, like Haridas Thakur, this tolerance? Because when a prostitute came to him and said, he already knew Ramachandra's Khan, but that didn't divert him from his Krishna consciousness. He didn't say, are you serious? Can you tell me what he said about that? So how do we develop this tolerance? Because it's almost like a waste of time arguing back and forth saying what I witnessed, because in the end everyone's a false witness. Only Krishna's the real witness. So how do we develop this tolerance for our own peace of mind?
By our own purity. As long as one doesn't have the same purity like Haridas Thakur or Prabhupada, we are victims. We are victims of not being pure witness. So it's not something that we intellectually can adjust and say, from tomorrow I'll be neutral. We cannot. But we can always become progressively purer so that our character is such. Until then we have work to do. It's not an intellectual adjustment to say. At the same time, for all practical purposes, we don't give up being who we are for the sake of, you know, the practical moving of life. Someone will ask us, did you see it or not see it? And we have some answer, I saw or did not see. Unless we have the realization like the bull in the first canto when Parikshit Maharaj asks, who hit you? Your, you know, legs are broken, this guy is holding the club in his hand, who beat you? And he says, I don't know. I can't say, because some people will say this guy, some people say it was my karma, some people say it's the Lord, some people say it's providential. I have no idea. Sorry, cannot answer the question. Well, we can't answer like that because we don't have the realization. If we do it, if we answer in such a way, way beyond our realization, we'll make a fool of ourselves. And we'll make a fool of others because we will live outside our realization. So at one point we might say, I don't know, you know, guess what, it's maybe karma. And next instant, you know, we may embarrass ourselves. So the idea is, let's focus on cultivating our own purity. So to that degree that we are pure, to that degree we can be, or I guess, witness the heart of someone else. Until then, it's just, we're relying on Krishna's empowerment to whatever degree. And our own honesty that, you know, I may have misunderstood, but this is what I saw and heard. And giving others what we call the benefit of the doubt, as they say. This is what I saw and heard. I'm sure they have their side of things. It's good to hear that too. That's all we can survive with. We cannot definitively say this or definitively say that. None of us can. At least I cannot. I shouldn't say none of us. I can. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Premanande.